Blog Talk Radio.
Featuring Toni Braxton and Babyface from their Grammy Award winning album, Love, Marriage, and Divorce. Love that song, and it's perfect for tonight's theme. Welcome to Relationships 360 Degrees, and thanks for joining us this evening. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallo, creator and host of this program, which airs Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. On Relationships 360, my guests and I provide you with expert advice to help you repair, build, and maintain enriching, positive, long-lasting relationships. And joining us tonight to talk about marriage restoration is Charlene Steinkamp. She and her husband divorced after 19 years of marriage due to Bob's unfaithfulness. And during the 2 years they were apart, God showed Charlene that he had a perfect plan for their lives and marriage. Charlene began praying for marriage restoration instead of following the world's way of getting over her divorce. In 1987, Bob and Charlene were reunited. They were remarried. 3 years later, they co-founded Rejoice Marriage Ministries, a Christian marriage ministry that proclaims around the world the good news that God heals hurting and dead marriages. They've written 20 books, which include The Spiritual Journey Toward a Healed Marriage and Prodigals Do Come Home. Charlene and others also produce Charlene Cares, a free daily email devotional for hurting spouses. Rejoice Marriage Ministries also has two online radio programs, God Heals Hurting Marriages, Charlene's daily 5-minute radio program, and Fight for Your Marriage, Charlene's weekly 30-minute radio program on the internet radio station she and Bob founded called Stop Divorce Radio. So she does quite a bit. And so I'm very, very excited to bring her on the program. While carrying on the ministry after Bob's death, she is the mother to 3 grown children and loves being a grandmother to 8 grandchildren. Charlene, it's wonderful to have you on the show tonight. Again, you have a lot going on, so I really appreciate you joining us.
Well, I love to talk to others, and especially anybody that would put us on the radio that we can share to others, or on TV, anything, to share about marriage restoration, because it needs to be spread more and more to everyone that God can heal hurting or dead marriages. And I didn't know it, and I filed for divorce. And then God, but God spoke to me and showed me his perfect will.
You know, Charlene, marriage restoration is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. It's the very reason that I began this show following my divorce. And it occurs to me, I was just thinking that, you know, God used both of our marriage experiences to birth ministries that will help others around the globe, you know, who are hurting in their marriages and wish to save them. Do you agree with that?
I do. And that's why we have Stop Divorce Radio, where we're on 24 hours a day playing music similar to what you had in all varieties. And then pastors and my teachings all on there to keep encouraging them, because the mind can play so many tricks of lies to us of that our marriage is hopeless. And when you read the Word and you stand on the promises of God, you know, we're the victory. Victory is won through Jesus Christ. And that's when you mentioned it, and I prayed about it, and you said it was the night before Good Friday. I said, the Lord had to pay the price at the cross tomorrow, Good Friday. And he shed his blood for all of our sins, which includes me, you, and our husbands or wives or children who are sinners right now that don't know the Lord. But Sunday came, and God showed his mighty power by Jesus Christ arising. And he's alive. And he's alive in our hearts with the Holy Spirit. What victory.
Absolutely. And in terms of Stop Divorce Radio, where can the Relationships 360 family of listeners hear that?
They can just go right on our website if they want to, and they can click on it, or they can actually, I'll get you the link to that for Stop Divorce Radio. But it's listen online, and you can listen to it. But if you want to pull it up, it's Rejoice Ministries, www.rejoiceministries.org.
And I've been all over that site.
But all you have to do is listen online and click on it. Go to our website, click on it, and that's the very first one. And it's Listen Online, Stop Divorce Radio. But just go on our website, and it's right there.
Fantastic. So much information there. about this topic. As I was saying, you're definitely the top expert, you know, on this topic, which is why I brought you on the show tonight. I like to have the very best guest, you know, to help our listeners and to equip them, you know, with the relationship knowledge and skills, you know, that they need to navigate their relationships and to build, you know, healthy, long-lasting relationships, which is the goal of this show. Let's get into tonight's topic. Let's talk about your story. If you could, you know, explain for the Relationships 360 family the course of events that led you and your husband, Bob, to form a Rejoice Marriage Ministry. So if you can kind of go more into your testimony, I guess.
I guess the testimony would be that Bob and I were madly in love when we were young, and Bob was 21 and I was almost 21, and we got married, had a beautiful church wedding, and my father and father-in-law worked at the hospital together as engineers, and we got married. They planned our wedding. They planned that we should meet, and we fell in love and got married, and we did not expect any problems. We were just madly in love. And what happened was the first year of my marriage, I saw something that I never saw when I dated Bob, and we didn't date long. That was in 1960s, and we didn't date long like some people do now, but we dated 9 months and got married, and we bought a home near his parents and my family and lived locally. I'm living in the same house with two additions on it since. So we're very plain, you know, people, but Bob had anger, and I never saw my mom and dad fight, and I got petrified, and so I went back to my parents, and I said, this is not going to work. He throws things, he yells and screams, and I've never seen anything like it, and it scared me. And my mother and father said much wisdom, and they sat me down and they said, you remember your vows that you said, and you made a covenant before God until death do us part. And so, Charlene, you need to just turn to God, and he will help you through everything. And such wisdom, and boy, that was the truth. And we found out, and I'll jump forward the 19 years to when I filed divorce, and we're getting divorced. Bob called me up one day and said, I need to tell you something. I just had a dream last night, and I remember I was molested at 5. And Bob and I, from the first year on, went to pastors, counselors, and psychiatrists to find the link, the puzzle, the piece that was missing of why he had anger issues and why he was battling pornography and all these different things. And sexual immorality off and on, not regularly, but off and on. And he was called in the ministry, and we were very involved in church, and we would have many years of good times. And then the ugly devil raised up his head again. And I want you and I to know that the Lord created our hearts, and he wants us to know that unless we turn to the Lord, our hearts aren't all that they're supposed to be. And I'm going to read some scriptures tonight, and Tiffany, you and I talked about that. God's word is so powerful and answers the question so perfectly. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of his evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And, you know, we could talk about just what we say to each other by letting our guard down. And there's so many scriptures, because I love to say, and I have a saying for Charlene, is that zip your lips. You know, if you would just listen and zip your lips and don't have to have the last word, which I always did.
Sounds familiar.
I always thought I could just explain it one more way, and I could win, and I would never win. Slowly I learned, you know. But at the time when we walked through our marriage with the trials and tribulations, the good years, and we had three beautiful children, but there was this up and down that Bob had, and he had the anger, but he would control it. And the one thing that was about Bob that was different than some people is he always repented. He always came to me and said he was sorry. But when we repent, and when the Lord tells us to repent, to accept him as the Lord, he says you need to turn 180 degrees. That means we change, and it's transformation. And, Bob,
and so he struggled with that, yeah, in those 19 years.
Yes,
so what caused you, Charlene, to decide, you know, after 19 years that enough is enough? Like, what was, I mean, was there one event that caused you to say, okay, I'm done?
Yes, there was. There was a woman at work, and I started, and he had never had really a woman at work at that time. All those years. And so when I saw the women at work and him dressing up and putting cologne on and some of the warning signs that us women have ESP, you know, we just, the antennas go up and we go, wow, he doesn't do that for me. And you know, we just wonder. And so anyway, I just said, Lord, I just can't do it. And it was literally me not walking with the Lord close enough, and I allowed my flesh to speak, and I started speaking, I can't do this anymore. I wouldn't forgive him. I wouldn't open the door for forgiveness, and that's what happened. And
now, were you talking
to
other people, like maybe girlfriends or family members that maybe fed into, you know, your insecurities or your beliefs about,
yes,
you know, what your husband, your doubts about, you know, your marriage, and if
yes,
you should stay together. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And my parents were both gone, so I didn't have, and my brother had just gotten divorced a year before that, so I really did not have family to go to, and I listened to the world and to people at work, and you know what they said, and know what they still say, you know, drop it, you know,
and
get rid of
them. What did your church say about this? Did you talk to anyone, you know, in your church? I don't know, were you really involved in church at that time?
I was very involved. We were always involved in church, and that is where we still have problems now, is that due to the circumstances and due to the period of time that, especially with pornography or sexual immorality, it can be an addiction. It can be literally an addiction that we have to break the bondage.
And by sexual immorality, you mean sleeping with someone other than your spouse or sleeping with someone outside of marriage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And some pastors say you have the escape clause. And so that's what my pastor said that time. And I listened to him. I didn't seek the Lord. I listened to him. And I listened to a counselor that said, Charlene, you've tried. Now you've got to, you know, break it off. And he's got to, you know, understand there's consequences to his sin.
Yeah, I want to get more into, dig deeper into escape clauses probably in the second half of the show. But yeah, I definitely want to move on to some other questions, you know, before we get into that. What happened, you know, following, so at that point you had gotten a divorce. What happened, you know, following your divorce that caused you to want to fight for your marriage?
Oh, that was an awesome Sunday. I went to church and was surprised to see a couple, Paul and Ann Downing, which was a Southern Gospel group back 30 years ago, 28 years ago, and they came to our church and sang and gave their testimony in the morning, and then had a big concert in the evening. And that morning, she shared how her husband was unfaithful. He was a womanizer. He had become an alcoholic, and she deeply loved him. And the Lord had told her to fight for her marriage and told her to fast and pray and believe in the power of God to resurrect and to touch him and change his heart totally. And so she did, and she fasted and prayed for 5 years, and he got gloriously transformed, saved, and set free from all his sins. And then they started going to churches and proclaiming the power of God and the power of resurrecting dead and hurting marriages, regardless of the sin. And that, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me on my shoulder and spoke in my ear and said, "You gave up on Bob and you gave up on me. You did not seek me." And that is when I went and called Bob at an afternoon and repented to him for my lack of faith. And then I asked him to come to church that night, and he was planning a wedding, and he says, "Oh, no, you know, we tried, you know, no way." And I said, "Okay, well, I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to be in a rocking chair at 80. I am going to be waiting for you." So I said, "I don't care how many marriages you get married, God spoke to me. I am never to give up on you, Bob." And I said, "You got three kids that need you." And they wanted him and were hurting. They were glad there was no fighting, but they missed their dad. And I had one 16 and a daughter 13 and a child 6 when it all happened. So I accepted the call that God asked me to do, to go on a spiritual journey with him. And it really was a spiritual journey for 2.5 years like I've never known before. I never would trade it.
Yeah, and, you know, I know that, you know, some of the listeners are like, 2.5 years, and of course you say you'd never trade it now, but, you know, that's a long time. And then the one woman that you mentioned, it took 5 years, you know, for her husband to be delivered and for them to, you know, be reconciled back together. Yeah, so, I mean, are you suggesting that, you know, people, husbands and wives, you know, waited out, you know, for that long?
I don't think that's long. When you have been, Bob and I were married all together before he died, 44 years. Mm-hmm. 5 years is nothing compared to 44 years. When my husband, when he was dying, was able to call his three grown children and he repented again for failing them during that period of time and talking to them. My kids said then, "I'm so glad you did what you did, because otherwise they would have been in somebody else's home, and I would have not been able to be part of his going home with to the Lord." So there, I think we have to remember our wedding vows, and really understand it. But then we have to study the Word of God, and we have to look at Abraham and Moses and Joseph and all the mighty men and women of God and see that they did not get anything instantly. Mm-hmm. But they had a walk with the Lord and they were following his footsteps with God and being obedient. And that is far worth walking in the path of righteousness, walking on the road you're supposed to walk, than being on a detour road and getting into another. I could have gotten into another wrong relationship.
That's what I was saying. What were you doing for those 2.5 years? You mentioned that you had prayed, that you had fasted. How often would you do those things? And what else were you doing in those 2 years before, you know, Bob ultimately, you know, came home?
Well, I thought I was a good Christian. I thought that I went to church every Sunday, and we were active with our children. But I realized I had not studied the Word of God, and I had not read the Word of God. And when I started reading it, I found out I was in a spiritual battle, and that this was not about Bob and me. It is between darkness and light. It's between the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan. And we see that happen right in Genesis. But in John 10:10, which I use a lot, and it says, let me find it in my Bible first, and it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord's come," and Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and hope, have it to the full," or in the King James, "abundantly." And so what the Lord showed me is the enemy had a crack in our foot in our door, and the enemy came in, and we didn't know how to fight the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And we, due to my lack of knowledge and Bob's lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6, we failed to know how to fight the enemy in our marriage. And we do have warnings, and we do in Ephesians, it talks about anger or bitterness or, you know, rage or anything that we do. We have fleshly acts, and it tells us how it tells us don't go to bed and be angry at nighttime. And there's so many awesome scriptures of teaching in the Word of God. But if we don't read it, we don't study it, we don't know it. And then that's how the enemy deceives us. So the weapons that I...
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So the enemy deceives us. And in Ephesians 6:12 is one of my favorite scriptures because it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And that is when the Lord spoke to me at the very beginning of my spiritual journey that it wasn't against Bob that I was battling, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12. So I started reading Ephesians 6:10 to 12, and I read that I need to put on the armor of God. So I now have been putting on the armor of God, and I've been teaching that, and I even have a free printout that they can print out. There's prayers they can print out to pray different scriptures with their husbands and names in it. Because if we pray God's word, it says it will not return void. And we're fighting, you know, Jesus was fighting the enemy, you know, when he went up, but when he fasted for 40 days.
Mm-hmm,
and the
mm-hmm.
enemy tempted him, but he spoke the word of God and said, it is written. And that is what I started doing. I started speaking God's word and saying, I'm going to believe for Bob and Charlene to get back together again.
So what was happening during that time? Because you said he was planning a wedding when you first spoke to him. So, okay, what happened over those, you know, 2 years? I mean, were you guys dating? What was happening, like, during that time before he ultimately came home? Or were there, like, some maybe false starts where, you know, it looked like Bob would come home for good and do right by you, and then he'd go back to his selfish ways and leave? And maybe, start dating someone else?
Bob had a battle going in his mind between right and wrong, good and evil, darkness and light. And he battled it. He would speak one day one thing, and the next day he would speak the total opposite. And really almost didn't even remember that he spoke that, you know, maybe we can work this out.
But he was planning a wedding, so what was happening? Did he, after you had spoken to him about reconciliation, did he immediately leave this person or, you know, let them know that he was trying to work out things with you? Or, you know, what happened with that situation?
He found another person, and there wasn't just one person for that 2.5 years. But the one that he ended up with, they went to church every week. And they were in church services and then battled living in sin the rest of the time. And that's where we got to understand that the church, you know, we don't know what's going on the other side of the person. The mask that we all are wearing when we go into church, there's many of husbands and wives that are having to wear a mask because of the anger and the bitterness going on in home. And we haven't been able to tell anybody to pray for us. They are covering it up. So when Bob got serious with one woman, then he planned on going on and getting married. But then he moved 4 different times. And when he moved 4 different times, he was not with her. She was down here where I was, and he moved away.
Okay, so he was fighting marriage altogether with you and, you know,
correct.
The other person
correct.
As well. Okay.
So it gave me hope because I could see God moving.
So were you seeing him during this time, or were you just guys just talking on the phone, or how would you reach out to him, or, you know, how much interaction was there?
I was blessed to have children, and I was blessed to have us trade the children off every other weekend or at different times. So that was a huge blessing. And Bob was a very good father, and he was the Disneyland father. And at the beginning, he was very angry and would not forgive me for what I did. But then he said he saw a change in me. He saw my countenance change. He saw how I responded. He said he could not push my buttons, as he says in the books, that whatever always made me upset or I would lose my cool, he realized he could not do it anymore. So even then, he started saying there's something different about me. And that's when he started watching me. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's one story, if I may share it, where he called me one Sunday night, and my son was a sound man for a Southern Gospel group, and I was going to their concert locally, and he says, I need you to meet my girlfriend, and I need you to pray with her because her husband said that he cannot have the children back tonight because of Bob she was being unfaithful. And I said, well, have her meet me at church, and we'll pray. And we got to, and I went to Denny's with her, and I was able to share my testimony of what God did to me and how I sinned against God by getting so angry with my husband and kicking him out of the house and divorcing him. And I said, you know, you need to know that I'm going to be here waiting because I believe God said for me that our marriage is going to be restored. So she listened to me, and I got to pray with her, and her kids came back that night. And she told Bob, Charlene's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Go ahead. But so it shows you that God's in control.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, let's talk about, you know, God's view of marriage. I know, you know, I was kind of mentioning at the top of the show, you know, about the church. We were talking about the church and whether or not they're sending the right message about divorce and remarriage. It's like nowadays, you know, people get married, you know, 2, 3, 4, you know, times in the church. So, you know, we're kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting there in terms of, you know, what the church is teaching or what they're supposed to be teaching. So I want to, you know, want you to kind of talk to our listeners about God's view of marriage or the correct, you know, view that we should have when we're entering into marriages.
Well, I think we can say that God's best is that he put us together, and it said in Genesis 1, that he made man and female, male and female, and that he created everything. And he told God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth and subdue it. And then he said, we're one flesh in chapter 2. And it says in verse 24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. But we've got to understand also that we have a lot of men and women that, like I was, that was not taught there were options to the marriage problems. And I don't want to blame all the men and women for getting divorced, because I tell you, I did go to a counselor. I did go to a pastor. And due to the horrific or crazy or ups and down marriage problems we had, they thought in the realm of what we were going through, and maybe didn't go to believing that God could change Bob into a man of God, into what he needs to be. And I think sometimes we limit God in his mighty power. I had a heart condition back 13, 14 years ago when I went into full-time ministry with my husband, was already in it. And and I was told I had a year to live. In fact, that was one time when the Lord spoke to me and said, when I had chest pain, I was in the emergency room, and he said, if you were to live 1 year, do you want to serve the Lord or serve your doctors that you work for? For 25 years I'd worked there. And I said, serve you. And he says, quit your job. And 3 months later, I am being told that I needed a heart transplant. And I said, well, the Lord healed my marriage. And I know he told me that I might, if I had a year to live, what would I do? So I'm to serve him. So I said, if I'm going to pray for a miracle that God's going to heal me because he wants to use me. And I surrendered my life again to him to, if he can use me forever, as much long as he wants me. And the Lord touched my heart and amazed my doctors to see who were cardiologists. They misdiagnosed me. Well, I had a catheterization that showed otherwise. And so God got the glory in healing my body. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He healed my heart. And that's what Bob and I have been in, heart business of changing, telling people that the Lord can change your heart.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, this, you know, Easter holiday that's coming up on Sunday is all about, you know, as well. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, a great time to be talking about, you know, this topic tonight of, you know, restoration, marriage restoration and reconciliation is definitely, you know, the theme, you know, of this Holy Week that Christians celebrate all over the world. And I wanted to ask you, we were talking about, I think you called it exit plan or escape plan, you know, for marriages. I wanted to talk about what are, you know, the reasons in the Bible that God says are acceptable for a husband and a wife to divorce. You were talking about, you know, the church was just saying because of all of the up and downs that you and Bob had and the stresses on the relationship, you know, that you should just give up, that you should pull out of your marriage, not necessarily biblical grounds there. So if you can kind of, you know, explain, you know, some of, you know, the reasons that, you know, God has laid out in the Bible that are acceptable for a husband and wife to get a divorce for our listeners,
the main
so
one
they know.
Is in, yes, and the main one, Matthew 19 in verse 8. Well, let me go back to 4. And it says, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. And then they said, why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, which is, that's again about what we're talking about. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. And that is the scripture the pastor gave me. And there is, in 1 Corinthians 7, there is another whole chapter that we can't study tonight, but it gives some exception clauses. The scripture that hit me when I studied it, actually I had a girl came up from our church and gave it to me after I had already filed for divorce and was getting a divorce. She said, I don't think you're understanding that you can forgive your husband for his unfaithfulness. In verse 10, she said, to the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and a husband must not divorce his wife. So, you know, it's very important that we understand that God's best, of course, is always going to be fight for your marriage. But not everybody was told that. And so we have to now go back and pray for repentance and say, Lord, help me, show me, speak to me, tell me what I need to do. And God does speak to his children. And chapter 7, let me bring up another scripture, that, and let me say this to men and women. we have a lot of couples that are still home that are fighting and trying to save their marriage while they're getting warning signs there's problems. And I have found out in all these 25 years that we often, the women especially, hold back our husband's needs, sexual needs, more than anything else. And I want to give them a scripture tonight that will help them keep their husbands happier if we don't cut off what they can get outside free or at the office, you know. The husband should, in verse 3 it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So I wanted to say that, you know, there are so many things. I can give you the list of spiritual weapons that we can pray and use. But we have got to learn to treat our husbands and wives correctly. Ephesians is an awesome scripture in Colossians of how we should treat each other right. And we need to do it. And women, we need to respect our husbands.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Charlene, for that. Definitely, guys, read Colossians and Ephesians. Those scriptures that, you know, Charlene was just referring to. I want to take a quick break, Charlene, and when we come back, I want to hit the phone lines. Plus, I want to talk about forgiveness and the role it plays in marriage restoration after the break. If you guys want to join us, you can give us a call at 714-409-0610. That's 714-409-0610. I'll definitely make sure that the number gets posted in the chat room. You can also enter your comments and questions in the chat room for me to share on the air when we come back.
How do I get my husband back?
Why won't my wife have sex with me?
Where can I find a good man?
Is she marriage material?
Why do my kids hate me? Find answers to all your relationship questions during Relationship 360 Thursday nights, now at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on Blog Talk Radio. Plus, win relationship resources and tools to help repair, build, and maintain positive, enriching character-based relationships. Set a text or email reminder for the next episode of Relationship 360. Listen anytime at www.blogtalkradio.com/relationships360 or download the show on iTunes for easy listening on the go. Relationships 360 at www.blogtalkradio.com/relationships360 Thursday nights, now at its new time of 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio.
Many of today's dresses and blouses can be unflattering without the right undergarment, but I have a hidden fashion accessory, the Magic Cleavage Bra, a corset-style bra that will enhance, boost, and create natural-looking cleavage. Plus, the corset style will smooth out lumps, bumps, and back fat. This cleavage-enhancing shapewear bra is a must-have for the fashion and body conscious. Order your Magic Cleavage Bra now, magiccleavage.com. Get free shipping in the UK. Order now, magiccleavage.com.
You know what?
you trust in me?
Welcome back to Relationships 360 Degrees, Thursday nights at 9 on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Relationships360 and Facebook at www.facebook.com/Relationships360.
Welcome back to Relationships 360 Degrees. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallo, your host for tonight's show, Marriage Restoration, Reconciling with a Prodigal and Estranged or Ex-Spouse, and you were listening to Believe in Us by Mint Condition. I'm joined tonight by marriage restoration expert Charlene Steinkamp. She's giving a lucky listener a signed copy of her book, The Spiritual Journey Toward a Healed Marriage, and another listener a copy of her newly released CD, Lord Change Me First. Just visit relationships360.com and enter your name and email address by April 30th. That's the end of the month to be eligible. The Relationships 360 marketing team will then randomly select and contact the winner on May 1st. And I would definitely want to give you guys an opportunity to weigh in on tonight's discussion. If you wish to speak with us, you can give us a call at 714-409-0610. The chat room is also open for your comments, and I look forward to reading those. So go ahead and type those in, or again, you can give us a call at 714-409-0610. The number is posted in the chat room. Charlene, you there?
I'm here. I sure am.
Great. We were discussing forgiveness playing a key role in marriage restoration right before the break. If I feel there can be no lasting reconciliation, you know, without it, so I want to make sure that the Relationships 360 family knows, you know, what forgiveness actually means. What does real forgiveness look like from the viewpoint of the stander or the person that's wishing for reconciliation with an estranged or an ex-spouse?
It's like praying the Lord's Prayer every day, maybe a few times a day, and literally forgiving your enemies as the Lord has forgiven us. It is literally taking it literally and doing what the Lord taught us as being the most powerful prayer that how he taught his disciples to pray. He also uses Matthew 18 in verse 21 and uses just two short verses. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times, which at that time in that era, it was a large amount. And Jesus says, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times, which is 490. So, I mean, we need to understand it is a lot. It's what the Lord was saying. Don't keep count. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And I think that you can go to 1 Corinthians 13, if I can take the love chapter, because that
is my favorite chapter in the Bible.
Is it? It is. I loved it, and the Lord gave it to me to show me how I did not love my husband properly. And you can start in verse 1, but I'm going to start in verse 4, because it says, love is patient, love is kind. And I ask every one of you that's listening, listen and read this tonight and ask yourself, am I loving my husband or wife like this? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And this is where I failed 150%. It keeps no record of wrongs. I reminded Bob of every sin or every failure that he had from the first year, and I never dropped it. I never threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. So when
you said from the first year, you reminded him of things that he did in the first year of marriage?
When we had a hot fight going, I would bring up the garbage. And you're not allowed to do that in a marriage.
You know, I was in a relationship with someone, and he used to say, this is an ex-boyfriend, he used to say, you're being a grave digger. He used to refer to me as a grave digger, always digging up the path.
He's right. Can you imagine why we did that? I don't remember why I did it, but I thought it was a fight.
I would always say because you haven't changed the behavior yet, but you're saying that we're not supposed to do that.
You're right. We're not. Because you know what? Do you want your husband to tell you to change? How if we just go to the Lord and say, this really bugs me, and this personality, this habit, or whatever they're doing, and say, Lord, will you allow me to be able to handle it and ignore it and be thankful they have all these positives and that
mm-hmm.
they pay the bills
and focus
and
on that.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on the positives and be thankful for what that their strengths are and not just their weaknesses. And then
mm-hmm.
apply 1 Corinthians 13, that it does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. But we always protect, always trust our husbands, always hope, always persevere, because love never fails. And in another verse, it says, love covers over a multitude of sins. So the whole secret is we need to forgive. Think of Joseph when he was so, you know, he was left to die by his brothers. But think of how God turned that around to good, to be the saving of many souls, hearts, and lives in Genesis 37 to 50. Joseph forgave his brothers, and they thought he was going to kill them at the end.
Yeah, and our spouses often think that about us as well. You know,
I remember you
saying that, you know, Bob was saying that, you know, when things began to change with you all and you really began to move towards reconciliation is because Bob saw a change in you in terms of, you know, how you react to his anger and, you know, the bad habits that you didn't like. You began to, you know, be patient. You talked about love being patient and gentle and kind and all of those things. So, yeah, definitely read 1 Corinthians, you guys. Essentially, it sounds like, Charlene, that you're saying that real forgiveness is love, just being loving to your spouse in the way that God says that we should love.
What doesn't the Lord say, love our enemies? And there are some days
He does say that.
And
love
so
those that do all manner of evil against us.
Exactly. That may one day be our spouse, but the next day they've given us roses. So,
yeah, it's like that movie Sleeping with the Enemy. Yeah, sometimes that is the case, for sure. Yeah, so I think we covered that pretty well. Guys, if you want to chime in or, you know, you have something that you want to bring out or add, again, you can give us a call at 714-409-0610 before we get out of here tonight. Charlene, why should we fight for our marriages?
Because I can say that it always looks, grass looks greener on the other side, but it never is. And that's why we do have second marriages, but then we'll have a third, or we may have a fourth. And we realize that there are problems in any marriage, and we need to work on them, and we need to ask God to reconcile and restore all the parts that we have. I want everybody to understand that it can be drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be pornography, it can be any sin.
Anything.
Read Galatians chapter 5, and it talks about that we need to crucify our sinful nature. And that is what we teach you about how to pray for your spouse. And then we need to pray that our spouse comes to know the Lord and lives a Christ-like life, and they have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in them. And the Holy Spirit is self-control.
Absolutely. Yeah, you were talking about the anger, you know, that being another thing. It's just some of us are better at, you know, subduing the flesh or our sinful natures, as you refer to it, than others. But we all have it. We all have it, and, you know, it all, you know, comes out in different ways. So, like you said, you know, you divorce your first spouse, then you're going to deal with something differently, you know, with your second spouse or third spouse. So it never ends.
It never ends, but remember, there's a lot of people that never knew the Lord Jesus Christ when they got married. So God is a God of second chances, and that's why he had that woman at the well, woman that had committed adultery, but there was a woman that was married five times. But he said to her, go and sin no more. I don't want to do this. I want somebody who made a mistake and never knew the truth, because they weren't even believers when they got married, and they may not know the Lord tonight. Do not say this is the end. Jesus is hope, and his salvation is here. And he arose, and he defeated death, and he can change your life completely. Jesus is the answer for every one of your problems. But you can go to our website, and that's got a lot of information free there, as you said.
And, you know, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that every marriage should be restored, or just certain ones? You mentioned, you know, the Bible passage, you know, talking about pretty much that no one should be in a divorce except in the case of adultery or unfaithfulness. Sleeping with someone, you know, other than your spouse. And you said even in that case that, you know, God would, you know, have us to forgive, you know, that person, even when that takes place. So do you believe that every marriage should be restored or just certain ones?
Oh, I don't. I believe God can do anything, but everyone is a different situation. We never treat any couple the same. And I believe the most important thing is you seek the Lord, and you seek your pastor and counselor, and then you seek God. You have to take time. God's best is marriage restoration. There's no doubt about that. But I think that our divorce is an epidemic for our lack of knowledge of God's word. But I think we can have marriages. We can have a huge tsunami of thousands and thousands of marriages restored if we will take Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. If we can take all Ephesians, all of Colossians, and apply it to our marriage, I think we can have a revival in America for marriages to be restored and resurrected from the dead. There is absolutely no doubt.
Yeah, so you definitely don't want to be getting divorced over, you know, any little thing. And, you know, even if, you know, maybe your spouse does step outside of the marriage, maybe that, you know, can be forgiven. You know, it kind of depends, I guess, on the person, the circumstances, you know, God knows. But, you know, it is listed there, you know, in the Bible. And then also, you know, the other thing that has been discussed in the church as a possible reason would be some sort of a physical abuse situation. And what about the case in terms of, you know, a fraudulent marriage or, you know, someone tricking a person into marriage?
You know, that's where you have to go. And like I said, I'm not a counselor and I'm not a pastor, but you let them go and get someone that is really believes in marriage restoration and then wants to take you down that road to study the word and seek the Lord. God will speak to them and show them, and they can see if God, I just believe sometimes we rush getting marriage restoration. We don't. God told me to wait forever, and sometimes that may seem like a sacrifice, but I'm telling you, there are victories in people having other parts of their family restored while they wait for their own marriage to be restored. I think we need to say, let's go down the narrow road before we go to the wider road. But God is a God of answers in the Word of God. And my husband was abusive. That was a big part of mine. But you can separate and you can get help, and then your marriage can be restored. And that's what I'm saying. Pray for hearts and lives to be transformed. And pray against mental illness. And we have a lot of military coming back. And I don't want to encourage every wife who's got a husband or wife that's come back with PTSD to give up on their spouse. I pray for God to become a healer in many ways. That's why I say we need to give God time to work on marriages more. That's my goal for our marriages, not rush into divorce.
Absolutely, and like you said, to seek God, you know, before you make a decision, and you know that those that He's put in positions of leadership, in the church as well. So you know, get some assistance by the right people, you know, before you know making that ultimate decision, and don't be so quick, you know, to rush into it either. And definitely, you know, pray and fast, and you know, do those things that you know allowed you know Charlene and Bob to successfully reconcile in their marriage and hundreds and even, you know, thousands of couples that have been helped by Rejoice Marriage Ministries. Speaking of which, if you can quickly mention, because we've come to the end of the show, Charlene, how can Rejoice Marriage Ministries assist abandoned spouses in reconciling with their wayward spouses, their prodigal spouses?
They left home and abandoned them. You pray for them just like I prayed for Bob, but just wait, and you definitely need to get financial help and get ways that you can help your family and be the provider. But the Lord has restored in our ministry that we know of many people that their spouse walks out and leaves the children and all, but they have come back home. But you definitely need legal advice and legal and financial counsel to protect your family and yourself and so forth. But you can still pray. You can still
and Rejoice pray. Marriage Ministries will definitely pray, accept prayer request.
Yes, oh, positively. They're contact us and fill out the prayer sheets. They're there, and we pray for them every week. And we do. We'd be honored to pray with you. And we can send you an free information packet also if you contact us at www.rejoiceministries.org.
Okay, and then I do want to ask you this question really quickly. In your experience in working with other couples looking to restore their marriages, do their prodigal spouses or the spouse that's, you know, abandoned them or left the home, do they normally come home with no warning, or do they usually have a heads up? Does the person that was abandoned have a heads up that their spouse will be returning
home? I just love those stories, and the stories of the suddenlies are more than often. You'll start to see them calling you, start to popping in more, and then they'll want to talk to you and say, I'm thinking about coming home, and then they run away and they're scared, and then they start testing the waters again. So there can be a lot of, maybe if you say those are false starts, but then all of a sudden there can be that suddenly, and all of a sudden they're there, and that's exactly what happens over and over and over again for 25 years. So God does speak to them and say, now is the time. Happened to one lady on Christmas Eve and said, no more, leave tonight. You're married. So she went back home.
So let God do his work. You do your work by fasting and praying and standing and loving and forgiving. Those are all the things that, you know, the Word calls us to do, you know, while we are, you know, patiently expecting, you know, reconciliation with our spouse. Last question, what lessons can we take from the Easter holiday that can help us forgive our spouses and move toward complete forgiveness followed by a marriage restoration?
Look how Jesus forgave all the people that were on Palm Sunday praising him, and on Friday and Thursday they were jeering him and crucified him on Friday. He forgave everybody. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe half of our marriages, really, the spouses don't understand why they act like they do because of their childhood. Because they may never have had a mother or father or a husband and wife, good examples as their childhood. That's more deeper that what we talk about. We need to break off the generational sins that are breaking and causing marriage problems also. There's a scripture that says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Acts 16:31. That's my prayer for all of you tonight.
Excellent. You know, and I don't normally do this, but I do want to take this call from area code 323 before we wrap up the program. Welcome to Relationships 360. Did you have a question or a comment for Charlene? Area code 323.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes. Yes,
okay.
I do.
I had myself on mute. No, I just wanted to say this is a really great show, and it was really great information that she was disclosing. And I really appreciate the main part when she said, as far as how women use sex as a weapon, and a lot of people aren't really aware of the Bible. And I think in this day and age, I think women and men, when they hear that particular verse that your body is his and his body is yours, it just seems like people just don't want to heed to that. And in order to have a vitalized, harmonious, cohesive working relationship.
Absolutely. You're calling from California. Would you mind sharing your name with us?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And also your marital status.
Yes, my name is Dr. Rael Sims. I am. I specialize in neuropsychology. I talk about the science of relationships from an eco-biopsychosocial and spiritual point of view. I've been married now for 11 years, and so many things that she was saying, I was just over here going, yes, 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 and it was, you know, she's just. Just right on the money.
Well, excellent. Excellent. Well, yeah, we thank you for calling in and joining the show. And, yeah, definitely hope you enjoyed it and that, and you know, you can use some of the information, you know, in the work that you do, you know, to help others in terms of, you know, moving towards marriage restoration as well. Thank you so much. Will that be all tonight before we wrap up the show?
You talking to me now or
real?
No, I mean that's just great. If you want to talk more, if you have time, I'm here. like I said, it was just wonderful information that I used because I'm also a counselor. So when I'm speaking with couples, that's something that's so important. And to have God within their relationship, you know, that's just really, really important.
Okay, well, we thank you for calling in. Charlene, if you would, I'd like for you to say a prayer for, you know, marriage restoration. Let's pray for that, you know, as we head into Resurrection Sunday.
All right, thank you. Lord, we just thank you for dying on the cross and paying the price for all of our sins and for every sinner. And, Lord, we just thank you that you sent your only Son down to die on the cross and be the Lamb of God for us. Lord, we ask that you will just use this Easter Sunday and this Easter Holy Week to put our minds back focused on you and the power of the resurrection power there is in believing and being a believer in believing the power as when we pray and we read the word and we apply it to our lives every day. Lord, we just ask that you will touch every one of these men and women. And any teenagers who have mom and dads that are having marriage problems, they can pray for their moms and dads, even little kids. All of us need to pray, and we need to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ because we need to rebuild our marriage on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And I pray that every husband or wife that is separated or having marriage problems together, or they even may be divorced as I was, Lord, I pray you will speak to them individually this tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, and may you speak to them as they write down questions and even ask you questions. Father, you are so powerful. You can answer their questions and direct their steps and guide them on a spiritual journey they will never forget. You can change that Saul into a Paul, and we just ask that you will do it for all these marriages, and may we have a huge testimony coming to Tiffany to show that God is restoring their marriages when they heard this program and for the future, even if it's a year or two wait or however long. God's timing is perfect, as it says in Galatians. Do not be weary, but just to stand strong and run the race. And we just ask that you help us to be able to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow. Amen. And I am in agreement with that. Thank you so much, Charlene, Rial, all of our listeners, the Relationships 360 family, for joining the show tonight. Best wishes for Rejoice Marriage Ministries, Charlene. Again, thanks for joining us. Have a blessed holiday weekend, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Relationships 360 family, be sure to check out her website at rejoiceministries.com. Plus, visit this show site, relationships360.com, and enter your name and email address by April 30th for a chance to win a copy of Charlene's book, Spiritual Journey to Marriage Restoration, and her latest CD, Lord, Change Me First. Until our next show on Thursday, April 23rd, be blessed and be a blessing. Good night.